What I'm saying is that here's the problem for most people when they do their talks is that they overgive and they fire hose, and people are not wanting to work with them because they feel like they need to process and digest what was shared.
You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 384. And today I've got a guest joining us to unpack a cutting-edge partnering technique that will fill your webinars, masterclasses, and programs. You ready for this? Let's get started. Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Get ready to ramp up your revenue, amplify your impact, and make your mark in the world. This is the show for experts, thought leaders, and service professionals who want to shatter their limits and achieve that next level. You're going to find out from other experts and influencers how they made it. Now, let's get amplified. Hey there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It is your host, Melanie Benson, authority amplifier to expert-based entrepreneurs ready to generate 5 and 6-figure months and make a big impact in the process. Today, we're going to be talking about a collaboration and partnering technique that I have recently started to use. And I could tell you it's one of my favorite ways to partner with people next to having them on the show. And this is something that I find a lot of people are not doing yet. And it's actually quite simple. It's very effective. It's partnering up with colleagues who share a similar audience and just cross-promoting each other's masterclasses and webinars. It's a very powerful strategy. My guest is really excellent at it. So I will get him on here in a second. Before I do that, I want to just talk about collaboration for a moment, because a lot of people have mixed feelings about the idea of collaborating, and it means different things to different people. When I talk about collaborating, what I'm talking about is how two people or more who share a similar audience can co-create results, more visibility, more opportunities, because they are focusing on win-win strategies like promoting each other's masterclasses versus everybody staying in their own silos. So you might call it or know it as a joint venture partnership. You might know it as affiliate marketing or strategic promotions, whatever you want to call it, it's untapped. So many people who are struggling with their email marketing, with filling their programs, it's because they're just not doing things like this. And you might notice, if you have my $1 million visibility framework, that this is a key part of the strategy working well. You go back to the very beginning of my business taking off, it's because I knew how to borrow $1 million visibility from peers who had already built my audiences. And we created win-win visibility streams. We created outcomes for people in both of our communities. So if you do not have the framework yet, I highly recommend you go right now to melaniebenson.com/framework, download it. It's my gift to you. Follow this process to the T. This is what's going to set you apart from everyone else in your industry. It's going to give you a very highly important visibility advantage, so your ideal clients and great opportunity lands in your lap faster. Okay, again, melaniebenson.com/framework. And now let's get into today's guest. Welcome back, Amplifiers. Boy, I have an amazing guest to introduce you to today. I am bringing Sean D. Stewart to the show, and we're talking about how to launch your virtual speaking tour and have it fueled by your favorite partners. Now, let me just give you a little background on Sean. He is a high-ticket enrollment expert and speaker with over 14 years' experience helping entrepreneurs create profitable businesses that are aligned with their career gifts. So, of course, he's a perfect fit here, right? He's originally trained by Tony Robbins. And this is what I found so fascinating about Sean as I got to know him a little better. He has a 30-year background as a spoken word artist, rapper, and stage performer. And he electrifies his audiences in live and virtual events, bringing a unique blend of training and edutainment. Now, Sean has been behind the scenes of so many success stories. He's helped icons like Brandon Burchard, Les Brown, Lisa Sasevich, and Coaches and service providers, just like me and you, generate millions of dollars from their live and virtual events. So, Sean, do you go by Sean Douglas or Sean? How do you want me
You
to
know,
refer to you today?
I have a whole artist identity, and that version of me is Sean Douglas, and but the version of me that is the coach and trainer is Sean D. Stewart.
Okay, so we could go, Sean D, drop us a rapper line. Like, what is the way to do that? I'm so uncool.
Oh yeah, no, like
Drop us a rap.
you just say, hey, you got a freestyle for us? Yeah, you don't need to
Okay,
do
all right.
anything
So
crazy.
we might have to lace that in later. But now we're talking about the rapper background. We're talking about your edutainment, and I just find that so fascinating. I'm completely not an entertainer in any way in that world. But how did you leap from being in the entertainment world like that and rapping into the work you're doing today with virtual events and helping entrepreneurs?
Yeah, it was really natural because all my lyrics were always transformative. They were always about inspiring. I mean, it wasn't just all positive, but it was a positive, conscious kind of focus for my my music. But I always told stories that went into the depths of the soul and came out on the other side, right? So it was true transformation experience that I was always speaking from. And so also I was just natural as a kid in helping people transform. And I was always going through conversations with people and noticing that I had an impact on them when I would connect and communicate on how they can improve their lives. So there was this intersection between my lyrics and how I showed up on stage and what I was talking about and the message that I was coming from as a rapper. As I moved into getting trained by Tony Robbins and then learning how to help entrepreneurs, it was just a natural fit, both in terms of like how my intuition and all these natural gifts of helping people played into coaching, but also as a speaker rocking stages. I'd already done that as a performer for years, so it was kind of like just ch a new identity from stage and the same energy in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I could see that. And I think anybody that can create energy on a stage, whether it's virtually or in person, there's just a whole nother level of impact. And I think the income that flows in from that is really it's a whole nother level of having an event. So I could see how that skill set and that passion you have would be such an asset. Well, okay, so you've been coaching entrepreneurs for a long time. And you have probably tested a lot of things when it comes to marketing a coaching business and an expert-based business. What are you seeing right now is one of the most impactful and successful strategies to attract clients?
Yeah, I've gone through so much in this 14-year career. And when I started, which I was in Hawaii when I started my career, and the first thing that I did was I got out and I used speaking. And I actually reached out to this woman who was the head of the Chamber of Commerce in Hawaii, in Kaneohe, in Oahu. And she answered the phone because I had a 310 number from LA, and she thought I was her brother who apparently lived there. And it just opened a conversation up where ultimately she invited me to speak to the entire Chamber of Commerce group. So here I was, early phase in my career, also just recently in Hawaii, and I'm speaking in front of over 50 people at a workshop, doing my very first presentation and attracting clients. So early on, I was using two things. I was using speaking and I was using partnership marketing to grow my business. But then I went into, the shiny object chasing because I was doing one-on-one, I was undercharging, and I was like, oh, I was looking at all these experts and being like, I gotta be like these guys. So I wanted to like learn everything under the sun. And I got into email marketing and social media and all these complex structures that I ended up tanking my business. And I was totally lost. I was feeling like I wasn't happy in my business. I like to joke that my calendar looked like Tetris because it was so chock full, but I wasn't making a lot of money. And I was just like in Hawaii wanting to go outside and like be at the beach. And I had no freedom for that. And it was a good problem to have considering I came from working day jobs, but it wasn't what I wanted. So I was at this event, and everything seems to happen at events in my life. And so I was sitting at this table with this guy who had a business that I admired. And I said, I want a business like yours. And I thought he would do what most people do, which is try to sell me into working with him. But he actually asked a question that was so pivotal. He said to me, what have you done that works? And I was like, well, interesting. Speaking has always worked, and I've done really good with partnerships and stuff like that. And he was like, why don't you just do more of that? So that was where I had the decision to kind of double down on what I knew worked. And that's when I really started to focus on speaking and partnership marketing. And what really changed for me was that in COVID, period, we all obviously left the offline world. I was very much about like the offline workshops, in-person speaking, in-person events. And so pivoting over to that online space, everybody got used to Zoom and all these things. And I was wanting to get more speaking gigs. And I spoke to a woman who was booking herself constantly. And I asked her what she did. And she said to me, she would look at her calendar 12 months out and she would say, I'm going to speak these dates, like once a month or twice a month, arbitrarily choosing dates. And then she would spend her days, look at that as a checkbox, right? And she would spend her days reaching out to meeting planners. And when she would get one book, let's say it was January, but she booked it in October, she'd checkbox October and she'd move on to getting the next ones. And so she'd fill her calendar by arbitrarily choosing dates. And I thought, what if I did that same thing, but instead of meeting planners, I used joint venture partners and I did it with my own events from Zoom. And that's when the idea hit me and I reached out to a partner immediately. As Tony Robbins says, never leave the sight of a goal without taking action. So I reached out, I texted this guy and he said, yeah, let's do it. And that turned into over $100,000 in revenue from one event that we did together. And I was like, this is awesome. So I started speaking a couple times a month, every single month. And then I started teaching people how to do this. And it's really one of my favorite things to talk about.
I love that story. Oh, it's so good. And you know, it's interesting. You and I keep finding we have some parallel paths here. For me too, speaking has always been my gold. It's been the thing I'm most passionate about. It was the thing I had to learn the most about, right? Because just because we have passion doesn't mean we're going to be a good speaker and host events that people enjoy. But yeah, it's without a doubt has been one of my mainstays. So I know a lot of people would agree that speaking, sharing their message, being a guest on podcasts, whatever form that takes, hosting their own events is something they know they should be doing, but they're maybe trying it and it's not working, or they're maybe trying a lot of things, like you said. What do you think are one of the most common mistakes that entrepreneurs make right now that keep them stuck instead of growing?
So I hear from people all the time, and what they're doing, in my opinion, is they're getting caught up in what Stephen Covey calls the thick of thin things. They're chasing shiny objects, and they're following, gurus and experts that are, well-meaning. I have nothing against anybody's thing, but a lot of times I find that people have this idea that they're going to get their message out to the masses, and that's their whole MO. I want to be this like person who's visible to the world, and it's like, kind of the common thinking of today, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that when you have no real fan base or following, or you're starting at the beginning and you're trying to grow a business, that's like, it's kind of the wrong step at the wrong time. The first thing you want to do, in my opinion, is have a medium to high ticket offer. It could be one-on-one or it could be a group. I recommend groups, but you don't want to start with like the membership or the low ticket as an outset, even though it's a great model overall and it creates recurring revenue. A lot of people need to have less clients, more revenue at the beginning of their career. So whenever I'm teaching people this workshop model, I'm like, I want to encourage you to see this from the standpoint of ideally a 5K offer you're making on the back end, or at the very minimum 2,500, because we're not talking about a system from my workshop process that we're talking about here, where we're in front of thousands and where we or hundreds and hundreds of people every time you speak, where you can sell a 97 or a 497 thing and you're just going to crush it. We're not talking about speak from stage, sell from stage right now. Not this particular model. I can help people with it. I'm very good with it. I've sold from stage. I've made a lot of money from selling from stage. But what I recommend for people and what gets people stuck is that if you just can sell, like, let's say a 5K offer and you get like four, five, six sales a month, you're like crushing it compared to all the dreams you had. And you can stop looking at those shiny objects and just focus on the simple objective of, am I speaking consistently? Am I doing strategy sessions / discovery calls, whatever you want to call them? And am I closing at least, you know, 30, 40% of those people into these high ticket programs? So we keep it really simple. And so I just try to get people to think about the right steps in the right order. I'm a fan of all marketing. I just think people are lost in going for step five when they're really at step one or two.
Yeah, trying to do too many things and doing many of them not very well is one of the fastest ways to burn out in my experience. And I think that's what keeps a lot of people from finding the thing that does work is they've just spread themselves too thin. That was a great metaphor that you share, or analogy, quip, whatever you want to call it, from Stephen Covey. Quote. By the way, I don't know if I've ever shared this on the show, but Stephen Covey is actually the reason I became a coach.
No way. How do we keep having these moments? What's going on with us?
Well, you know, it does happen, right? But yeah, he came into my corporation at the time and started doing leadership development training and turning our managers into coaches. And I was so inspired. Yeah. So anyway, long story. But
that's amazing. Yep. You got to actually meet the man. That's incredible.
Oh, I didn't. I didn't meet him.
Oh, you didn't?
It was the effect of what was happening to the higher leaders, right? Wow. It was so transformational for me. I was like, I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to do this in my life. So
that's so cool.
Yeah. Anyway, back to you. I love this idea of being intentional about speaking. And you actually teach something that I want to dig into here, because the way you do this is so powerful. It is so impactful and it works. And it's this idea of the virtual speaking tour. Can you unpack this a bit for us and explain what is it and why is it working so well for you and the people that you're teaching it to?
Yeah. So a lot of people who naturally know that they already know they're speakers, or they have this sense that speaking is the thing for them. They know they just need to get more speaking gigs. I remember listening to Tony Robbins, and he said when he wanted to learn how to speak, he said he booked like, I don't know, 50 gigs in a month. I mean, you know, Tony Robbins, he'll do these crazy things like 50 gigs. I'm like, who gets 50 gigs in a month? I mean, I don't even know how to make that possible, right? But I was like, how do I increase the amount of speaking gigs that I'm getting? Because it's like this big game of like, I want to get in front of audiences, but like, who do I call or what do I do and so forth? And so what I decided was to just take things into my own hands and say, it's my gig. So if I know the dates, if I set the dates, I can increase the amount of times I'm speaking just because I choose those dates. It's not up to anybody else. So that's the first piece of this, is you looking at your calendar. And we have a spreadsheet that has all the months of the year on it, so that we can just literally see the whole year. I mean, you can use Google Calendar or whatever you want, but we like to see the whole year at once. And then I like to color code once or twice a month when I'm speaking. So that's the first step of this process, is basically looking at your calendar. And when I do this on a workshop, I ask people to pick the date of their next workshop. So if those of you listening, like literally, if you want, pause this for a second, look at your calendar and decide, let's say 30 days, 6 weeks from now, when's your workshop? Because I'm all about moving people into action. And then you can start looking at plotting your next workshops after that. And people say, well, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I'm like, that is not what we need to, that's step two, right? So just had this conversation with somebody on this workshop I did this week. It was a one-way conversation, because she was putting it into the chat and I was responding to her message. I said, how come you guys aren't, and I see a bunch of people here and only about 50% of you guys have put down the date. What's going on? And this woman said, well, I'm not sure exactly how to fill my event yet. I'm like, that's not the step we're at. Please take my coaching. Do the first step first, right? So it was a little bit of contention, but I was like happy to hold that space, because other people were like, yeah, I need that kind of coaching, right? But bottom line is that you want to define your dates arbitrarily, and you want to get those dates in the calendar regardless of the how-to and all that. The other thing that's cool about having multiple dates, like let's say, to keep it simple, you book yourself arbitrarily on your calendar, you decide the day and the date and the time each month for the next 12 months. When, and we'll get into the partnership piece, but when you're talking to partners, the best thing about having multiple dates is that if a partner can't do the next date you have, let's say it's January and you're like, could you promote my thing in February? And they're like, I'm too busy for that. Cause most people who are partners are not available in the next 30 days. Right. So you're like, well, can you do February, you know, or can you do March? No. Can you do April? Can you do September? So by the time you run through all this, they're going to say yes to one of those. Right. So it's a really good way to handle the objection of the problem that people have where the space and timing doesn't work for them. So we want to have multiple dates on our calendar. So that's number one. Number two is that you want to have a signature talk, obviously, right? So the process by which you communicate on stage is critical. And what we teach around that is very different. A lot of people will say, you know, it's all about the offer and it's about all these different things. What I talk about is it's all about the teaching points. Your teaching points are the heart of your talk. And your teaching points should be designed in a certain way that is completely counter to how most people think their teaching points should go. And I'll draw this out a little bit because I'd love to know your thoughts on what your ideas are. You might already know, like, what I would love to know from you, Melanie, like what teaching points are for you. But basically what I find is that people are trained in the idea that teaching points are supposed to be basically parts of the content that they would teach them if they were working together in their ongoing programs. And it's not 100% true. So let me stop and ask you, what do you think? What teaching points and what's your take on how you do that?
Yeah, well, this is a fantastic question because I've evolved this over the years, which I spent a lot of time believing I needed to kind of teach a fraction of what it is that I would teach in my bigger programs. And I do it two ways. I'll be in full disclosure. Sometimes I'm kind of creating need for what I teach. So I'll design a talk around the problem that I think they're stuck in so that my solution starts to make sense. So that's one strategy.
Nice.
And then the other strategy is I'll to take my framework and outline my framework that I teach in my bigger programs, but I only unpack one piece of it. So I do two different
Love
styles
that.
And it depends on
great.
The situation. Now yeah, I'm really so curious what your advice is.
Yeah, you're well-trained. And so there's a lot of alignment in what you're saying. And let me just tee up that what I'm saying is that here's the problem for most people when they do their talks is that they overgive and they fire hose and people are not wanting to work with them because they feel like they need to process and digest what was shared. It's like giving all this heavy information. And so what people think is that the highest value they can give on their workshops is the highest value content that they have to share. And so they're overstuffing it with that thinking that if I give the best stuff, people will naturally see me as an expert. But here's what I always like to say. If you give the stuff that's what you teach in your programs, they can't actually do it in that moment. And so they feel like overwhelmed by it. So instead, just like you said in your first idea around what the need is, our goal is to design teaching points that are around the top three limiting beliefs that your ideal clients have in the way from believing that what you help them with is possible. So whatever your program is, you know, that's a solution for them. And they come into it with some beliefs underneath the desire to learn it about why it's not possible for them. It's too hard. Maybe it's not the right thing for me. I am the kind of person who. So we want to reverse engineer what are the top reasons that my people would feel like this isn't possible for them. And we want to then take the teaching points, which the way I do it is whatever your offer is, I like to siphon that into three pillars. So let's say you have five steps of your system. I like to siphon it into three. And I also like that system that you shared where you take one piece. Mm-hmm. And one way or another, we're going to come up with three teaching points, either from your primary system or from one part of your system and going deep, like you're saying. And we're going to use that as the frame of the context. So it is in the range of what they came to learn. But we're really going to now fit those beliefs inside of each one of those teaching points. And this is very hard for people to get because what we're trained in, and most people, you know, came from some type of background of the basic learning styles. And so they just want to linearly give the how-to. And really what we want to do is we want people to not feel like they learned some new information. We want people to feel like they believe that what you teach is possible. So I always ask people, like, in a one-on-one conversation, like a sales call or a discovery call, what's the objective? Is it to give great content? Never, right? Is it to like tell people how to do stuff? Never. It's to get people inspired and that believe that what they want is possible. And to, if you're a fit, hold the line for them to take that step forward to do it. So we're kind of designing our workshop in a similar way. And the funny thing is, and I ask people in the workshop, now that they know that the content was designed around the belief shifts, whether or not they believe that it's still valuable, and everybody raises their hand. They're like, yeah, this was super valuable. So if you think that we're shortchanging value by doing it this way, you're wrong. This is like the ultimate mix of high value and high conversions.
That is so cool. And I love that you're unpacking that a bit, because I've experienced that from a really brilliant trainer or speaker. And I can tell you firsthand that really like digging into the limitations and those blocks, that was so inspiring for me that it made me want whatever else it was they were doing. And I've experienced that in real time and just know how profoundly impactful it can be. And I've watched those people run to the back of the room or, right, you know, jump on the offer on a Zoom when they're experiencing that. So I know that that is a very powerful strategy. I love what you're teaching on the content piece, but could we, because I know we can't get through everything in the time we have for the show, but I want to go back into the partnering piece, because when I have suggested things like this to clients over the years, or, you know, having masterminds and just conversations with colleagues, people get a little stuck on the JV partner model or the, you know, aligning promo partners, and they get into this thing, Sean, I don't know, do I have an email list that's big enough, or where am I going to find these people? Yeah. How do you structure that side of it? Maybe give us a couple of insights there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is so huge, because, you know, there's three types of marketing. And it's basically, you can do prospecting, which is like social media, organic, right? All that like stuff where every day you're posting, or TikTok and so forth, right? So that's prospecting. Then we have paid, right? You can do paid media and you get that one. And then we have partnership. So we have these options, and you want to ask yourself, like, which one are you going to lean towards primarily? And you got to pick your lane, right? So I pick the lane of partnerships. And the thing is that first step is to commit to the lane, because every lane has drawbacks. And so you're not, or challenges and things that you got to deal with. So it's never going to be a perfect lane, but you got to pick your lane and you got to be committed to the challenging stuff so that you can gain from all the great stuff, right? And so this is where, first of all, is the commitment to say, I'm all in with partners. It's the second thing is to start to realize that it's a game of enrollment. It's actually just like having an enrollment conversation, but not from a place of a transaction where you're trying to get something. But it is a conversation where you're looking to connect with a human and you're looking to have a legit conversation about, look, I'd love to support you and let me know what that would look like. And then here's what I would love some support with. And I think people get very uncomfortable with asking for what they need. You know, we come from this place of feeling like we can't ever ask. We always want to come from a place, because a lot of people that I attract, practically everyone I attract, is, you know, high integrity, heart-based. And we're really just wanting to be good people in the world. And so we feel really uncomfortable when we're asking for what we need. So that's one piece of it, especially when you don't feel like you have a big list, or you don't feel like, you know, you're not sure if you bring the value. So a lot of our stuff around like our value and whether or not we're credible and imposter syndrome comes up, because we're dealing with a human that we feel like we might get rejected from, or maybe we're not worthy to be in the space of, or whatever these things are, right? So these are the drawbacks of this particular direction. And so I help people, whether they have an email list or no email list, with this JV partner process. And there's different things that you can do. I mean, if you have no email list, first thing you want to do is ask yourself, what can you do? And I find that people don't ask that question, because they can be very valuable. I had somebody who was able to share that I had this old banner up on my Facebook page, and it was from my event from last year. And it was really helpful that he took the time to look and say, hey, you got an outdated banner there. That's huge. Those little things matter, right? Another example is, I know somebody who was able to get a massive partner, and what they did is they did 10, 20, email introductions, like three-way introductions, right? They didn't do an email send. They did personalized introductions to send to this person. And that was super valuable. It got them on stage in front of hundreds, and it was a massive breakthrough for them. And so the thing is asking yourself, what can you do? And I always ask people, do you have 5 or 10 people that you think would be valuable to connect this person with? Forget about sending if you don't have that. Do you have something that can be high value? Do you know about a stage that they might be privy to? Do you know about a podcast that they might be able to connect with the person who's running it, right? Like, who are some hot introductions that you could make? So if you don't have something like a list, then that's okay. It's obviously something you want to grow and you want to establish. It's going to make things easier, but you don't have to go after massive partners when you're in an early phase either. You could go after somebody who has 1,000 people on their email list and start to build yourself up. So I want you to think about wherever you're at, you have value. You've got to move through the fear of confronting that conversation and feeling the way it feels. And when I work with clients on this, we do role play. So I want them to get into the body embodiment of those conversations. But at the end of the day, you got to be willing to go all in marketing strategy you choose, because I believe, and I've experienced, that JV partners are the most effective process for growing a business, and one in which it's the least risky compared to those other two options that I shared. So whatever the drawbacks are, it comes down to commitment, and then it comes down to having a list of people that you reach out to, and then asking them to have a call, and then having those uncomfortable conversations, and then securing the deal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're brilliant at it too.
Thank you.
That is that makes it feel more doable, what you just outlined for us. And as you're listening in, I want you to just imagine for a moment that in your circle right now, you have at least 5 people that would be honored to do this process with you if you're willing to do what Sean just suggested and reach out, open up a conversation, and start looking at ways that you can support each other. They're right there already. It's just you haven't taken the first step. So, Sean, how about we give them a personal challenge today? First of all, I'm going to ask Sean to share his resource with you. And I want you to, first of all, first step of the challenge is I want you to go download it in a minute. But the second thing I want you to do is I want you to make a commitment to Sean and I that you're going to go look in your audience. You're going to look in your community. You're going to look in your connections and find at least 5 people to start those conversations with.
Yep. I'm gonna hold you accountable to that. You guys got to do it. I do this on my workshops. Just literally take out a piece of paper and think about people either that you know or don't know, that you admire or that you feel like have your ideal clients, and make that list. That's the first step.
Yes. Thank you. And you really want to up your ante now. slide into our DMs or share this episode and tag Sean and I in it and say, yes, I did the exercise, right? Like, let's really up the ante here. I want to hear from you that you're stepping into it. Okay.
For sure.
Sean, you have such an amazing complimentary resource that you're sharing with people today to help them with this. Could you share how to find it and what it is, please?
Yeah. So I am sharing with you what's called the Fill Your Workshop Blueprint, how to fill your next workshop with 75 or more people in your next workshop. And it breaks down a couple things. It talks about, how to use what we call the core 7 marketing strategies to fill your next workshop, no matter what list size you have. And it includes the JV partner stuff. And so it comes with a resource that is so chock full of amazing swipe files and a variety of tools that you can use to fill your next event, either through social media, if you have an email list, how to do that, how to use JV partners and the correspondence emails you want to do with them. And, how to do stories on Instagram or different, reels on Instagram, stories on Facebook to get people to your event, what to say in those particular lives that you do. Just an amazing resource. So this is, again, called the Fill Your Workshop Blueprint. And if you want it, just go to tinyurl.com/filledworkshop, FILLED workshop, all one word, tinyurl.com/filledworkshop. You can go ahead and download it and watch the training as well.
Love it. And we will link that up in the show notes just so you have it handy. So wherever you're listening to this on any platform, scroll down to the resource section. You'll see it linked up for you there. Sean, I like ending our conversations because this has been so amazing. You're so generous with your wisdom and I cannot wait to hear the big breakthroughs, but I always like to end with a couple of fun questions that I ask every guest. What would you say is the boldest thing you ever did in this business? that has amplified the success of this business?
So the boldest thing that I ever did was I made a decision at a certain point in my career. I'd been studying under Tony Robbins and other big experts, and I wanted to be like them. And so I thought that my whole thing was that I got to be like these guys if I'm going to be successful. And so I was kind of playing a role of that kind of coach. And the boldest thing that I did is to decide that who I am, which is I have a background as a rapper, as a performer, as an artist. My dad's an Academy nominated screenwriter. Like, I come from this very creative background, and that all those things are critical for me to bring into the conversation and to basically come out the closet and say, look, I am not Tony Robbins. I am not Brendon Burchard. I am not those people. I am a guy who is always been into transformation, but more than anything, I'm a creative, I'm an artist, and I am also a business coach. And those integration of those pieces is what makes me who I am. And so taking a stand for my unique gifts and being able to say, look, if you don't like it, that's fine, because I want to be around the people who know who I am and are attracted to the real me. And so that really was the biggest risk. It was stepping out and owning, look, I'm a rapper and a business coach. And I just think that it's really powerful when people can own their unique self in their business, not just sideline it, but inside their business, because then people can see the real you. And so that was the bravest thing that I did.
I love that. Again, we have a very interesting parallel path here, because I had to do something similar. And
love it.
In a minute, I want to ask you one more question, but would you be up for giving us a little taste of your rap before we wrap up today?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So let's go like this. Don't fear change. The old you wants to hold you in place. Don't let it. Don't live your life based on safety. You'll regret it. The bigger the risk, the bigger the reward. If you want to go big, you got to go toward the core. That's that voice that you hear that's in here that says you're here for more. But big dreams always seem right outside our reach, because the comfort zone must be punctured. You got to break through the breach, and it scares us. It tears us up. That's why so few you have leap. But this beautiful view of looking at this beautiful group is reserved for the few who let nothing stop them from doing what they're destined to. Is that you? Do you hear the call but then get confused? The answer is simple if you check your truth. I know you want success. I know that what you put in, you want to get that back 10x. But there's something I want to share with you. So listen close to what I have to say next. It's the person that you become on this journey that is worth everything that you invest. It's the person that you become that we're doing this for. And I'm out.
Boom. Oh my gosh. I just had I felt that in every part of my body. That is so cool, Sean. Oh my gosh. You're so gifted. Thank you.
Love that.
I feel like we're supposed to wrap up here. I mean, that is a powerful place to say
cool.
Thank you.
Love
thank
it.
You.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having
okay.
me.
Okay. If you love this rap, if you love this conversation, if you are ready to take the challenge, share this episode, give us a little shout out wherever you're listening, and go follow Sean, connect to his work, go get his resource. He's brilliant. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Melanie.
Thanks for tuning in today, Amplifier. Be sure to join us right now in the Amplify Your Authority community at authorityamplifiers.com, and I'll share my 7 proven tips to be a highly paid expert that stands out in a crowded market. Plus, we're going to keep this conversation going, and I want to hear from you how you're going to amplify your authority and make a greater impact. Before you go, please take a minute to give our show and our guests some love over on your favorite podcasting platform. Subscribe, rate, and review. Leave your full name, and I'll spotlight you and your authority on social media.